Hi, everybody. This is Alan Freed. Back in 1951 in Cleveland, we coined a phrase that became the biggest pop musical era in the world. The words rock and roll.
And this is Roscoe in stereo, on the go for grade 98.
It's Murder K with you. This is our last night right here on 1010 Wins. So I say it to you from the bottom of my heart. Yeah, baby, it's the K's last night on the swinging soiree.
Well, those are the willows from out of the past and church bells may ring, riding us right up to news time on WMGM New York. Bobaloo with you on the landslide. Bobaloo here. We'll look for on the other side of news when we got big sounds coming your way from the Mystics on...
The Big Bobaloo Show!
Oh, too late. WPLJ 95.5 FM in New York. I almost said the wrong thing again. okay, well, this isn't what's supposed to happen here now, but this is a... tune from the past. Here we go.
At 8:15, the Scott Muni Show goes solid gold with the hits of yesterday. And then again at 9, more of your hits of the day, the voice of the people, on the exciting and exclusive WABC Instant Sound Survey. Tune in, Scotland Yard, tonight and every night, 7:15 till 10, on WABC, one of America's great stations.
WABC, happy home of fun radio with the swinging seven gentlemen, Herb Oscar Anderson, Sam Holman, Fred Hall, Charlie Greer, Big Dan Ingram, Scott Muni, and Cousin Bruce Morrow. The men who bring you America's most popular music, first on New York's first station, WABC.
From the little radio station around the corner and up your block, The Matt Daddy Show.
All right, Matt Daddy here, the Monday scene. Another week is moving on. You heard it up and covering, wasn't that a hummer? That's the Wind's premier sound. It ain't a square record because we only play round. Take your daddy's advice now and turn the lights down low. We'll come with something nice on the Monday show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are seven acknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time. Soulfinger, Agent 00 Soul. It's the Frankie Crocker Show.
Do it, Frankie. Do it to it.
Sock it to me, mama. Say, baby, this is an album that's bound to put more dips in your hips, more cut in your strut, and more glide in your stride. If you don't dig it, you know you've got a hole in your soul. Don't eat chicken on Sunday. Push, girl. Other cats be laughing and joking. Frankie Crocker steady, taking care of business, cooking and smoking.
The Doo-Wop Shop 101.
Oh, yeah, the Doo-Wop Shop. This is Mike Miller, and you're on the Harmony Street Show, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Paulette.
Hello.
And as promised, in the studio, by way of New York and some magic that we're performing here, is Don K. Reed. Hi, Don.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm so glad that you could stop and say hello tonight.
Anytime. I mean, you made that jingle for me back in the, I think it was in the early 90s.
That's correct.
Came in about 93.
Yep. I remember
haven't
that.
Haven't heard it since about 2002. We haven't played it. That's when the show ended.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, what's really funny, I said if we had to say hello to all the people that asked me to say hello to you, we could do an hour of just saying hello to Don K. Reed. It was, you know, Patty and Joe and Susie and whatever. Of course,
A lot of people have moved out of the New York area to other areas.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, Florida, but you go all over the country. country, correct?
Absolutely. Well, you know, what's funny is I think in my development, I think we're going to name one street Don K. Reed Street.
You know, fly me down for the ceremony.
I'm going to fly. I try to fly you down this time. Actually, it's been raining here for about 3 weeks straight. I mean, it's like ridiculous. Every
time, I think we beat you. We got about 4 weeks or a month and a half of rain up here.
Oh, yeah.
Every day we get rain.
I know that. I can't go a bit further because she told me that she sent me a nasty email, but Andrea Weiner told me you have to say hello to Don. So, you know, for Andrea, okay. Hi Don. Okay.
He's a faithful listener and fan, believe me.
Absolutely. This I know. She told me she saw you over the weekend, you know.
Yeah, she did. We did a show, for the benefiting the troops and the Vietnam vets.
Absolutely.
Or any kind of vets, for that matter.
Oh, yeah.
And, it was a nice show.
Yeah.
Not enough turnout, though. I just was very disappointed in the people who came. I mean, I don't know how this show particularly is advertised, but to me, to honor the troops, there just wasn't enough people there, you know?
No, I hear you, you know. But let me tell you, it's heartfelt. I mean, you know, Joey from the Mystics, from George Galfo's Mystics, his son did two tours of duty over there. And as a matter of fact, the show tonight just before me, they dedicated the show. They actually had a couple of soldiers call in from Iraq and they patched them in. And, you know, it's a good thing. I mean, we need to make a lot of changes.
Right.
You know,
but they're being pulled out, the troops, as of today. I heard the story that the guys are going to come back and they're going to leave just a few Americans over there.
No, I hear you. You know,
so that's good news.
There's a lot of changes that we need to make. And, you know, a lot of the guys that I talked to that sang the music, I mean, they're of that age where their sons are going or have returned or, you know, and there are so many stories to tell. It's just amazing. Right now we're going to tell the Don K. Reed story. And you were born in Brooklyn, right, Don?
Absolutely.
That's what it's.
I was part of the first rock and roll generation.
Yep. Absolutely, and so many good groups came from Brooklyn. I mean, that little nucleus, you know, with the Mystics and the Passions and the Classics and
Jive 5.
Oh yeah, you on Herkimer Street. I know.
Oh, a lot of people came out of Brooklyn.
Now, you know, as I know it, you began on WLIR, and
that's correct.
And I know that that was you were very popular on Long Island, you know, before CBS FM. But what actually got you started in radio?
Maybe it was stupidity. I don't know. No, what actually got me interested in radio was, as I said, I was part of the first rock and roll generation. So,
right.
As a kid in grammar school, somebody said to me, "Have you heard this guy on Wins?
Yeah,
Alan Freed." And I hadn't listened. I was, just a kid listening to the radio, whatever my parents listened to, and it was mostly pop stuff at the time.
Right.
And I dialed up Wins and started to hear what Freed was playing, and it was just, amazing stuff to me anyway, and to every other kid, I guess, who tuned him in on 1010 Wins. And the phenomenon of rock and roll at that time was that the fact that it was the white kid who went for the, what they used to call race music back then. Rhythm and blues. And that was the phenomenon of the whole thing, really.
Well, I know when I was a kid, you know, listening, my ear just took me to all of the R&B groups. And for some reason, when I was about 11 or 12, I knew all these lyrics and I don't know how they got there. Then in later life, I got to meet some people because, you know, I was a dean in a tough New York City school and Jimmy Keys was the father of a couple of my kids. He used to come to career day all the time and tell that story about how some tunes died on the R&B charts. And the other groups covered them, and they became pop tunes, and those groups just never got their just due.
That happened, with the cover records.
Yeah, had Terry Johnson on,
Freed
too.
But Freed played only the originals. You know, he didn't play the covers.
Oh, yeah, this I know. Yeah. You know, and I always think to myself, well, you know, what was that great lineage of DJs that came from Alan Freed and Murray the K and whatever? And, you know, of course, the way the guys that sing this music always look at the situation, Don K. Reed is part of the lineage of those DJs who were the DJ extraordinaire that played this music. And if not for you,
I was very lucky, though. I really was to do the doo-wop shop on CBS FM for 27 years and 2 months.
And 2 months is right.
Yeah, and we were lucky to have it go. And you know, it was a show that for whatever reason, people love to listen to. And I think it's the music more than me, to tell you the truth. I know you, the DJ plays a part of it, but it was, it was the music, the, you know, the memories connected to it, the fact that the music stands on its own. It's really a forgotten American art form. It's not given its due at all. It was where you were and who you were with when you first heard a song, and we brought back a lot of memories to a lot of people.
Absolutely. And, you know, but it really, you know, wasn't just that. It was the fact that from 11 to midnight, the mood.
Oh, the live interviews, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The mood changed because I was up there quite a few times, and I know the mood changed. The engineer went home. It was just Don and the group. And the lights were a little dimmer and your voice got a little deeper and it became something that so many people just became addicted to and attached to, you know, for so many years. And that's.
Well, they look forward to the interview with the different people.
Absolutely.
Whether it was a local type group, your Harmony Street that came up.
Yeah.
To the artists who sang the hit songs. It was that and everything in between. And we tried to give everybody a good shot. And hopefully we did that.
I don't think there was a group that didn't look forward to it, whether it was Johnny Maestro with the Bridge or the Crests or the Passions or, you know, it's like, okay, you know, we have this show, you know, and there's 16 groups and whatever, and we're going to Jersey and whatever, but when are we doing the doo-wop shop? And
one time I had Joey D up. I had a lot of people who weren't strictly doo-wop, of course.
Right.
That might have been influenced by it, whatever. But Joey D came up, and then he came back a few times. And one of the times he came in second or third time after the first,
right.
He said to me, you know, every place I go in the tri-state area, people say they heard me on your show. He says, everybody's listening. I said, yeah, I hope so. But he was amazed at how many people. He would go to the far ends of the tri-state area, and people would say, heard you on the doo-wop shop, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know. As a matter of fact, we were, my wife and I.
We weren't on the net like you have the opportunity to be. We just were a little bit before that streaming stuff started, you know?
That's the new wave, you know? I said, you know, it's funny because I stopped singing for a while. You know, I'm newly married to Paulette, and, you know, Paulette is sitting here with me. I wish she could have met you then when we came up to the studio, but, you know, I stopped singing and I needed to keep being creative. I'm still, doing the studio work, and I have a new CD coming out. But actually,
Harmony Street?
No, but actually, if you remember even before that, I called you up and I said, I have a group, it's called Michael and the Dreams, and it's all me.
Yes, yes.
And you said to me, well, you know, we'll set up five mics, but you're going to be out of breath running back and forth. And so Michael and the Dreams has been recreated, and I have a CD coming out, co-produced with Stevie Dunham out in Vegas, and you know, that'll come out soon. And this, you know, and so far I've been lucky because all of the guys.
How did you get that? I mean, I'm going to wind up interviewing you.
Well, you
how
know.
How do you go from singing, like, and doing the stuff you did musically to doing a radio show?
Well, it's funny.
Maybe I can reverse it and, you know, I'll be a singer soon.
I had the opportunity, you know, I've done so much radio and whatever. You know, I used to go on Johnny B's show, you know, up in Waterbury, and Kenny Jordan's show, and, you know, around and around. And I was having coffee at Starbucks, believe it or not, and I heard a bunch of people talking in the corner, and they were saying concert, something. And so I walked over and I said, "Where's the concert?" And they said, "Oh, it's going to be here and here. We're sponsoring it with our new, you know, radio station, and it's internet radio and whatever." And I started talking. They said, "Well, what do you do? You know, what do you know about concerts?" And I told them, and they said, "Well, think about this after you finish your latte. How'd you like to do a radio show? You know, a radio show and just, you know, play doo-wop and play oldies and R&B. And I said, "Well, let me go home and think about that for about 4 seconds. And, you know, there it was. You know, I said, okay. I said to Paulette, what do you think about a radio show? I said, you can come on with me and we'll do like, you know, like, Ted Brown and the Redhead.
That's going way back.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't think you were that old to remember Ted Brown on the Redhead.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I saw Ted Brown after he split up with the Redhead, and he had a different Redhead. It was in Puerto Rico on the beach, as a matter of fact, you know.
But at least he was a Redhead, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Ted Brown, I met him, too, when we had the Radio Greats Weekends that CBS FM used to have.
Oh, yeah.
Back all the older jocks, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it used to be great weekends to meet people that you grew up listening to. It was just great, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you that the next best thing to having a hit record was to have a jingle played by Don K. Reed. And,
well, I always appreciated that because I never went out and said, hey, make me a jingle to any, any of the groups.
Oh, yeah.
They always they did it, and they did it out of the goodness of their heart, you know, for the show. And I always appreciated the fact that they worked hard in writing these things and, you know, producing them and, you know, handing them over to me.
Right.
I really, it was an honor to have them do it for me.
Yeah, but you, and let me tell you, CBS was really a mecca. I mean, I knew Joe McCoy because Joe lived in Connecticut and he used to come to some of our shows and whatever. And, you know, the whole gang. I mean, you know, Bobby J, and then I used to run into Johnny Z and of course Brucey and you told me a story one time. I came in and I said, you know, Don, the microphone that I'm singing on has lipstick all over it. And you said to me, and I'm going to see if you remember this, you said, that's Deborah Wetzel's microphone.
Oh, that's she right. Put, that's right.
The news mic. She puts her lips on the mic, and that's her lipstick. And I said,
and I, as long as it wasn't on my side, you know what I mean?
You know, and I said, now tell me the truth. Is it Mr. G or was it Deborah Wetzel?
No, it was Deborah.
Well, I went to a New York City marathon.
Mr. G runs in those all the time?
Absolutely, and I met him there at one of the marathons. Isn't that something?
Were you running?
I wasn't running. I was thinking about running.
You were running away.
I was running away.
Thinking is enough, right?
Yeah. Well, I didn't have my sneakers that day.
Or the oxygen, right?
Or the oxygen with me, yeah. You know, the other thing that I thought of, you know, which is very funny, is that if you look on the net, and I don't know if you've Googled yourself on the net, but I'm telling you, there's any and all. But I will tell you that there's about 1,600 people of groups standing in front of the CBS FM logo with their hand out, you know, like most doo-wop groups, like extend one hand, you know, in a doo-wah kind of a fashion, and you're in the middle. And I'm talking about it must be 1,600, and ours is there too.
there's a lot of information about me on the net.
Oh yeah, amazing. It's amazing. I mean, you should go on.
It's amazing that a kid from Flatbush with a dream, and it all came true. I mean, the first rock and roll show I went to at the Brooklyn Paramount in 1956. I can remember sitting three quarters of the way back in the theater and seeing that curtain go up and the big band, Freed's Big Band, playing Right Now, and then he came out. And he would introduce, I don't know, maybe it was the Teenagers.
Right.
I mean, it just blew me away, the whole thing. And years later, I got a chance to do that.
That's amazing.
MC shows and be on the radio. I mean, just, you know, I had a dream and it came true. And I think I'm a very lucky guy.
Actually, I think you were sitting in front of me at a couple of shows because I never missed any of those shows. And if I remember correctly, you know, some of Murray's shows, I mean, you would see the show, then you'd see a movie. Then you see the show. Then you say, and you know, and.
But you got closer to the stage because
exactly.
People would leave.
People would leave, and they wanted you to leave and let the next bunch in, but nobody left. You just.
They didn't clear out the theater.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so by the time you saw the sixth show, you were about in the third row, if you were lucky.
What made me laugh, there's one album cover, and I think it's the one, where Jay Traynor is on the back, and the Times were on that show, and a few other groups. And when you look at the cover, they have all these teenagers sitting, and they have the first 15 rows, and three quarters of them are smoking. And I was saying, those were old times. I mean,
oh, they were great times.
Oh, yeah.
They really were.
You know, one thing that I wanted to bring up before I got too far into this was one night, it was a Little Anthony and the Imperials show. And we were there, you were there, and a whole bunch of other people. And I tapped you on the shoulder, and I said, isn't that Hal Jackson sitting in the third row, you know, out there? Let's see if we can get him back.
Was that at Rye Playland?
Rye Playland. Exactly right. And what happened was somebody that was with me, we took a picture. It was yourself, myself, and Hal Jackson.
And you were kind enough to send it to me.
Exactly right. And I never knew. You see, when we took that picture and you said, oh, my goodness, it's Hal Jackson. And we all talked. I think he had his daughter there at that time. I never knew what the connection was between you and Hal Jackson.
Oh, and before I ever got into radio, I had gone to see at WWRL a guy by the name of Herb Norman.
Right.
Who was a newsman. And he was busy doing his, I mean, he came out and said hello to me and talked to me, but then he had to go in and do his news.
Right.
And Hal was on the air, and he was nice enough to get off the air and come out and talk to the kid who wanted to know something about radio.
Wow.
Very nice man.
Wow.
And I told him that years later. Of course, he didn't remember me. I mean, he's in his 90s now, so
yeah,
he's had a lot of time to forget me. But I never forgot him.
He's in his 90s. He might pass the mirror, you know, like tomorrow morning and not even remember who he is. But what
that
a pioneer.
To me sometimes.
Me too. You know, I put a little composite together when I first started this show, and I try to get everybody in there, and I even had John Zacharel in there, and I had Mad Daddy, and I had you, and I had Dan Ingram, and I had just the beginning of Frankie Crocker's show for a while, you know, the eighth wonder of the world, you know, and
right.
I got so much feedback from that, you know, but I ended with Don. I ended
very nice.
With the Don. The
to be lumped in a group with those names is very very flattering.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you deserve to be there, Don. And, you know,
well, I'm lucky enough, like I say, to be 33 years at CBS-FM, 27 years in the doo-wop shop, 46 years in radio. So
wow.
Hopefully I was doing something right.
How did you actually make the jump from the Long Island station into CBS-FM?
Well, I just... Actually, I used to sign on at LIR, and I came out. I used to sign on. We used to sign on, I think, at 6:30 in the morning.
Right.
And I wanted to get out of there because some strange things were happening, which
uh-huh.
on occasion happen at radio.
You don't have to tell us.
And a couple of guys had jumped from there to NEW FM.
Right.
Another guy had jumped to PLJ, and I said, maybe I can make the jump, too. So
yeah.
I like CBS FM, and I made a tape. I got out there very early one morning, about 5:30, and don't tell anybody, but on WLIR's equipment, I made an audition tape for CBS FM.
Why not?
And sent it in. Actually, I delivered it. I went up to talk to a man by the name of Dick Bosey.
Oh, okay.
And I got lucky.
Uh-huh.
But the interesting thing is I went up to talk to him. We had a very nice conversation. And, you know, I put the tape on his desk. Then it was tapes he sent in or brought in. And then I hadn't heard anything for a while. And I went back up. And this was a couple of months later. And he said, oh, I haven't had a chance to listen yet. Only this time my tape is on the bottom. And there had to be a stack a foot and a half high on top of my tape.
Sounds like the Brill Building when you go with
oh
a record.
My God. I'm not going to get the job. There's too much competition, you
right.
know. But I did get it because the two guys that were at NEW, Mike Harrison, who now has Talkers Magazine,
right,
and he's Richard Neer on WHN. He
uh-huh.
was Dick Neer then.
Right.
These guys gave me a call and said, "Oh, Dick Bosey gave us a call and wanted to know what kind of guy you are and all the rest of it."
Uh-huh.
And they said, "I think you got the job." So.
Yeah.
Again, I went to the city and told him I just happened to be in town, and I came up to see what the deal was. And he says, "I have 1 day a week for you on a Saturday morning. Do you want to do it?" I says, "Do I want to do it? Of course I want to do it."
Right.
And that was before the oldies format, of course.
Uh-huh.
That was under their old format, which lasted about 6 months.
Right.
And then they decided to go oldies, and they kept me. And the rest, as they say, is... radio history.
They turned up.
Anyway.
They turned up the reverb.
Yes, they changed it a little bit.
Who was Frank Camerato? Because I know you used to mention that name once in a while, or I heard
well,
that
he was,
name.
He was a fellow who was like a producer for the doo-wop shop at one time.
Right,
a lot of different producers.
Because I remembered you remembered certain names stuck with me. You would say, and special thanks to Frank Camerato, and there was one person that we used to call during the day if we wanted to find out information about what time and when we were going to be on or whatever, and I don't remember her name. Just a specific.
You would call?
Yeah.
Apparently me who would contact the groups to say, hey, you're going to be on it this Sunday at, you know, 11 o'clock.
But that
was generally standard, the 11 o'clock
yeah.
hour. And the reason I made it the last hour, because just as some people love the interview, others could take it or leave it.
Hmm.
So I figured if I kept the interview at 11 o'clock and somebody didn't care about the interview,
right,
they would stay with me at least from 7 to 11.
Uh-huh.
And if somebody didn't care about the music so much, they wanted to hear the interview, they could tune in at 11, which a lot of people did do.
Right. But, you know what's funny is that when we used to be on the doo-wop shop, or any of the groups used to be on the doo-wop shop, the phone would ring off the hook. I mean, you know, they would cheer you when you went into work. They would, I mean, I don't.
It was amazing. It made it amazing
it
how
it was a phenomenon.
People enjoyed that. And after a while, people would tell me they would hear the show on radios and restaurants, all types of restaurants, from a local pizza parlor to an up-class, you know, fancy restaurant where you wouldn't think they would have it on.
Well,
it was everywhere.
We went to a diner, an all-night diner at 3 o'clock in the morning when we were on our way back up to Connecticut, you know, one of the times that we were on and whatever. And we were all sitting there having our eggs and whatever. And we said, you know what? We're still filled with energy. The diner was packed. I said, let's just get up and we'll sing a couple of songs. And so we started singing in the diner and people were coming over to us and saying to us, weren't you guys just on the doo-wop show? We said, yeah, duh.
That's great. And a lot of guys, I know a lot of groups who do that when they go out to eat somewhere.
Oh,
they'll
yeah.
start singing, and they get jobs from it. People say, hey, you guys sound great, you know?
Yeah.
You have a card, or you have, you know, and they, people get the card, and they call you, and you got a gig before you know it.
Well, one of the things that always made me laugh, too, you know, listening to the doo-wop shop as much as I did, was that, you know, you had a great sense of humor. People would say things or whatever, and you would come back to them with that Don K. Reed sense of humor. And, you know, well, I remember one night, you know, we were talking about Scott, our baritone bass singer, because we, you know, if you remember, we had three ladies, and then we had the baritone, you know, and then I was on lead, and I said, well, we have Scott, and he sings baritone, but sometimes we invert him. Now, an inverted baritone is, you know, it's the note, but an octave higher, so he's singing on top, and you said, he looks so good just where he is. Why would you want to invert him? And we, you know, we laughed, you know, for minutes and minutes. It was funny.
But it was a great show to do. As I said, I met a lot of interesting people.
Yeah.
You know, and it gave groups who ordinarily wouldn't have an opportunity to sing on the radio.
Absolutely.
A chance to show their wares, tell people about a new CD or where they were going to be playing, and people could go and see them. And I had Tommy Austin, who was the original drummer of the Royal Teens.
Right.
He was very nice, and he said to me, you give guys like me, who have been in the business and, you know, kind of faded away, even though Short Shorts is a very popular tune,
right.
You know, you forget about who was playing what and
right.
singing. And he said, you give us a second life, you know, you bring it back for us, you know, you make us stars again. And that was very nice.
Well, there's one thing that I want to ask you, just to do a little aside. You know, I'm looking on the net and I'm saying, let me see if I can find out or find some of these jingles that are obscure from groups and, you know, see what's going on. Because everybody knows the Larry Chance jingle and the Kenny Vance jingle and whatever. And we were lucky enough to have our jingle played so many times and, you know, really made us feel good.
I kept rotating them because I wanted to give everybody a shot at, you know, and I always, at the end of the show, would mention the name of the group.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I played five jingles during the show, I would, at the end of the show, mention the names of the groups that played their jingle that night.
Absolutely, and it meant a lot to them. But one of the things I found on the net was I'm looking at Don K. Reed, and I see all of a sudden, I see onions, garlic, pasta, tomatoes sprinkled with, and I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. And then I look at the heading.
Thing?
It says Don and Dolores's.
Yes.
Don and Dolores's baked ziti. Exactly. And
hey,
I said,
CBS FM put together a, I guess it was an oldies cookbook or something. But every guy had to, you know, give a recipe of some sort. So you know, I don't cook, so my wife's Italian, and you know, we went that way.
Yeah.
A lot of people have seen that.
And it's funny because I looked down the thing and it says, well, there's no oregano. And, you know, what I did was I printed it out, but I put it into my Word program and I said, and I wrote sprinkled with doo-wop. So, because that's
why
the
not?
Only way it could be, you know. I have another question.
Okay.
Did you ever?
Hey, on this radio show, do you ever play music?
Yes. Yes, but you want to know what's funny?
By the way, I just want to say thank you to everybody who, you know, emailed you or however they got the word to you to say hello to me. I want to say hello back because I really appreciate it.
Tons, and I'm talking about, you know, just tons. One of them was Lola Foy. She's with the Saints. I think,
she's based down in Florida now.
Right, and Lola was with the Impalas for so long, and Lola and I are pretty good friends. She's working with the Saints. They have a new CD out, and I play her stuff.
And she made some great jingles for the doo-wop.
Oh, yeah, she's terrific.
In fact, when I first got them and I heard them,
yeah,
They were so good. I didn't know it was a female or a young boy singing.
Oh,
or
yeah.
I really didn't know.
Uh-huh.
But it was a great job, and I really, you know, cherish those jingles. Were excellent.
I know she's.
I know the work that went into it.
I know she's listening. She called me up and she told me she was going to listen to Jimmy Gallagher. You know, who I had on last week. Who's
yeah,
you know
friend.
Who lives down here and you know Jimmy's Jimmy sweet. I said Jimmy's his voice is so sweet that when he gets his coffee, he doesn't put sweet and low, and he just dips his pinky in. He got all embarrassed.
Well, Jimmy, of course, singing back now with the passions where he belongs.
Oh yeah. Absolutely, I agree with you 100%. And they're really eating it up. Another was Mike Palladino from the Bonaires.
Mm-hmm.
Told me to say hello, and Stan Zisko, of course. And you know,
oh, Stan, yeah, sure.
I had Stan on the show
forever. I know just about everybody.
Yeah, I know
almost everybody. Anyway,
I had Stan on the show. He was my first interview on the show, and he really enlightened us on some of the Del Satins stuff. Well, you know, Dion lives not far from us also, and we see him in the neighborhood, you know, and whatever. But what's funny is that every show I have, no matter who I talk to, everybody's connected to Dion in some way, you know, where Jimmy and Tony Passa and Joe Neary sang on the Deja Nu and New Masters album. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. He just touched everybody.
Oh, he did.
I mean, you know, he's
in fact, I had one of the best shows I ever had in the doo-wop shop. We devoted the whole show to Dion, and he came up, and we had about an hour and a half interview with him, which even wasn't long enough. And we played his music from, at that point, the show had been cut down to 8 to midnight.
Yeah.
And we did 8 to midnight, just Dion.
Well,
and Monday morning, the phones blew off the hook. People loved it.
Oh, yeah.
People loved it.
Well,
he's a New York icon.
Dion still walks up to you when he sees you and, you know, gives you a little hug and goes, yo.
Oh, yeah, he's a great guy. I just saw him not so long ago at Westbury with Lou Christie opening for him.
Yeah.
Great job.
I hear you. Well, I'm going to play, actually, a jingle from a group called Remembrance. They actually, they found out that you were going to be on. And
mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that one.
Yep.
Yeah, do I.
This is a group called Remembrance. And I know they're listening tonight.
You're listening to the Doo-Wop Shop.
With Don Carey.
He's playing all the songs
you want to hear.
All things but good.
Everyone's a jam.
Under the CBS FM.
With Don Carey.
Under the CBS FM.
With Don Carey.
Under the CBS FM.
With Don Carey.
Under the CBS FM.
With Don.
Now, that was a jingle by Remembrance, and it was Tony Gomez that wrote that, and Jimmy C. on the lead. Ah, very pretty. Amazing. So, Don, tell me something.
Yes.
Did you ever have a group on, and you're sitting there, and you're saying, oh, watching the clock, getting another commercial on? Tell the truth. Every
one
night.
Day. About?
Every night was different. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's happened. You know, yeah. Everybody isn't the greatest, but you know, I mean, I used to try to get tapes from people to see what they sounded like. I'm not just going to put anybody on.
Yeah.
But on occasion, you know, everybody. You know, the thing that got people when they did the doo-wop shop was performers are so used to a reaction from the audience, applause or something going on.
Uh-huh.
You do it in a studio with it; it's so dead the sound.
Yeah.
And
that's
you
true.
Sing, and then. When you finish, there's nothing.
Right.
It's a little unnerving, you know?
Oh, yeah, I know.
And people were even intimidated by the fact that so many people could be listening to them.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes that, I think, affected their performances.
The other thing, you know, and people don't know this, is that when you're in the doo-wop shop, you don't have time to do a sound check on the mics. You can't.
No.
You're on. There are a few mics and whatever, and you have to decide very quickly whether you want to have the lead on one mic, or whether you want to pull off and have a room sound, or whether you want to put the bass on one mic.
We had three mics we utilized.
Yeah, I remember, and I remember doing some quick thinking and saying, "What are we going to do now? Are we gonna like all get around one mic, or pull back and get a room sound?" Of course, we brought the keyboard into the studio, and we put a little music behind it, you know. And you said. What's going on here? This is not going to be a cappella, you know.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah.
But the thing was, we generally had a lead on one mic, the bass on the other, and a lot of people gathered around, you know, that third mic. Or sometimes another singer would be with the bass, you know, and I would mix it on the board, try to make it sound good.
Right.
And I probably got good enough that I could probably record an a cappella album now for somebody.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, we recorded all the times that we were on there, and we actually, we did video. We have you on video with the Doo-Wop Shop. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, we do. We have.
Did I have makeup on tonight?
Did you have makeup on? No, but you would, I was amazed by how you swing around in that chair and get it all done.
Yeah, well, you know? There's a little pressure in it. People used to say, what are you doing the music on? Yeah, oh, I just put my feet up and have a cup of coffee, you know?
Yeah. And it's like.
I don't know what goes on behind the scenes, especially when you're flying the plane and doing the
and
show.
And that's exactly what you said to me.
You were the technician and you were doing the controls and performing at the same time.
You said flying this ship is pretty tough some nights. And then.
Oh, it can be. It can really be.
And then you said to me, you know, we're doing more and more.
Do you have an engineer where you are?
Yes, we do, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
We have the best engineer.
Raise your hand, Chad.
What?
Oh. we have Chad, and Chad, you know, if I have music and it's too loud, he gets right on it, or if I'm not on the mic, or if if I miss cue.
Well, we had engineers in the beginning at CBS FM, of course, but then basically their union kind of sold those guys down the river. They were out on strike when I first got to CBS, and they were out in the winter, you know, marching around the building and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then when they came back and they signed their contract, we got the right. You couldn't touch any of the equipment before this strike, any of the announcers or any of the performers. So when they came back, we could turn on our own mic, which for them was the beginning of the end.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Next time in 4 years when they negotiated the contract, they got station got combo. We could go combo.
Yeah.
And that was the end of those guys, unfortunately. Most of them went to television, though. So they didn't lose their jobs, but still. We lost the technician.
It's funny. I went to school. I went to CW Post, and I went to Post with a guy by the name of Dick Heatherton, and he was a DJ.
Yeah.
He was a DJ on the WCWP station, and I remember he said to me, you know, it's like I'm going to go up to CBS FM.
Pardon me?
And he's going to go up to CBS FM, and he's going to talk to them or whatever. And, you know, I says, the Merry Mailman's son, Ray Heatherton's son.
Joey Heatherton's sister.
Yeah, and brother, Joey's, you know, and Joey's brother. Yeah. And
the Merry Mailman was quite a – you know, we think of him as just the Merry Mailman, but he was a Broadway actor.
Oh, yeah.
He goes back to introducing in the show Babes in Arms.
Right.
The song he introduced on Broadway was My Funny Valentine.
Right. Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Yeah. Back in, I think, 1938.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Quite a talented family he came from.
Yeah, we're going to listen to a friend of ours right now for a second.
Hi, this is Jimmy Gallagher of the Passions. And you're listening to the Harmony Street Show with Mike Miller on W4CY Radio.
Yeah, that was Jimmy Gallagher just giving us a little hello.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hello back.
that was Jimmy.
He's a great guy. Last time I saw him is when he was up in Jersey over at the Ritz Theater in Elizabeth, New Jersey,
right,
when T.J. Lipinski filmed the last, or taped the last doo-wop show that he ran on PBS.
I remember. Don, when's the last time you went on a cruise?
Actually, it was a few years back. I actually worked with Peter Noon on that cruise.
Ah.
And he was a great, great guy and a great talent. I mean, he did a great show.
He's funny. He's a funny guy. A lot of energy.
He's funny and he's a talented man. I mean, he wasn't just doing Herman's Hermits material. He was going back and doing some of the songs of Frankie Lane and people like that. And he did a great job at it, too.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, one of the things that I remembered, you know, when you think about Don K. Reed, they said that Don K. Reed did more night shifts than any other DJ on the planet. He was the night guy.
Oh, yeah. My original shift was 10 at night till 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then it changed from 10 to 2 to 11 to 2 to 10 to 1. I mean,
right.
And at one point I did for about, maybe back in the early 80s, I did 8 to midnight for about, I guess, maybe a year or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did actually every shift on the station. When Bill Brown had been taken ill for a while,
right,
I did 10 to 2 middays. I'd done the afternoon. You know, you sit in for a guy and done every spot. But I kind of liked the nighttime, and I'll tell you why. You didn't have to worry about traffic getting into the city. And, you know, there were no no powers around at the time, you know. They were all home sleeping, hopefully, and if, unless you blew up the station, you wouldn't hear from anybody, you know.
Except for one thing that I remember very vividly, and that is, and we were warned about the parking downstairs.
Yes.
When you're on the doo-wop shop, if you don't go down and feed the meters, if you know, they hit you, even though it's 10, 11, or
oh, yeah. Because they start, the meters kicked in, I think, at 6 o'clock at night and went to midnight.
Yep. And
you didn't feed them. They never missed the car.
I would, and, you know, I'd be interested to know how many guys called you, like, the next week and says, I got a ticket. I did the doo-wop shop. I got a ticket outside.
Not too many, though.
But it was worth it.
No, not too many. And, it did happen, though, on occasion.
And the other thing that I remember is, you know, you got there early because you were all excited and whatever, and what else was there to do? You went downstairs, you had Chinese food, right?
Oh, yeah, the restaurant that was down there.
Exactly right.
That was a pretty good place.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should have gotten a kick.
And then it was tough to sing with a belly full of Chinese food.
Right. It's the MSG. It tightens you up, you know. The other thing about Don K. Reed is the fact that I think he did liner notes on CDs for probably more groups, more oldie groups than any other DJ ever.
Yeah. I did a lot of liner notes, and I was very honored that people would ask me to do that. In fact, to this day, I'm still writing them here and there.
Oh, yeah, and you did it for us for the Mystics, and that was great.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
You know?
Glad you called up and asked me to do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. As a matter of fact.
Now, how long have you actually been doing this show that we're doing right now?
This show? This is my first show done. No, the station owner is sitting really great. Actually, when did we start?
About number
Peter?
Six.
This is my sixth show, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
My sixth show, yeah.
So how do you like it so far?
Oh, I love it. You know, I love to wag my tongue. As a matter of fact, I listen to, you know, we taped every time we're on the doo-wop shop. I remember being on your show, and I remember, you know, probably talking too much that first night that we were there, you know.
On the radio, you can never talk too much.
Yeah.
There are no pictures, you know.
I always say, you don't have to dress up for radio.
Exactly. That's what I loved about it. I did some television, and you always had to look right. You got to go in, let them put makeup on you and all the rest of it. And who needs that every night? I'd rather just sit behind, you know, shave. You don't have to look good.
A funny...
Just sit there and do the show. People conjure up in their mind what they believe you look like from the voice, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, they're never right.
Yeah. No,
we never
no.
look like we sound.
No, I hear you. You know, but it's funny, and Mike Palladino actually has his own show in Texas, and what it is, it's an FM station, but it's also streamed.
Right.
And they have now a video cam. So he says, you gotta tune in and you gotta see my show. And so he plays a song, and he's sitting there and he's tapping his fingers, and then he opens a Diet Coke, and then he's tapping his fingers again, and whatever, and then he turns his back, and whatever. I called him, and he actually picked up the phone. You know, the song was playing, and I said to him, Michael, if you're going to be on video, I says, you have to do something. At least get up, you know.
Yeah, that's like a new thing. They're, you know, watching a – well, it's not really that new because Imus has been doing it for quite a number of years where you can watch the radio show. And a good friend of mine, Joey Reynolds, on WOR overnight.
Oh, yeah, Joey Reynolds.
Has just signed something with a new cable network that's going in. I think it's something to do with NBC.
Uh-huh.
And they will broadcast his radio show, his all-night show.
Oh, wow.
And you can view it. But to me, as a radio guy,
right,
there's nothing more boring than watching a radio show. No, really.
No,
nothing happens. I'll never forget the first remote I ever did for WLIR. It had something to do with horse racing. There was this guy, Mike Lee, who wrote a column for a defunct newspaper now, the Long Island Press.
Right.
And they sold this thing, so you had to go to, I forget where it was. It was near Aqueduct. It was someplace near Aqueduct. Anyway, they sold this, and I was like the guy's announcer at the time. This was the early days.
Right.
And I'm sitting here with a mic, and he's sitting across from me with a mic, and I did my little thing, da-da-da-da-da. Here's Mike Lee.
Right.
The guy does this stuff about the horse racing.
Uh-huh.
And the salesman is standing there with the owner of the place, and when the show is finished, he turns to the salesman and said, is that it? I guess the guy wanted dancing girls or something, but, you know, radio is not very exciting to watch.
Uh-huh.
It's better to be home listening.
Yeah.
Because that's where all the action is.
What I'm going to do right now, I actually cut and pasted a few snips of the doo-wop shop. It's you giving the call letters and you taking a phone call and a couple of other things. And I'm going to play that because I think it's cool. And I think that maybe we can recreate the mood just a little bit.
Okay, all right. Give it a shot.
So we're just going to listen.
CBS FM, the Passions, who were just great at the show last night in New Dorp, out in Staten Island. And, of course, they're going to be with us at Severian High School in Brooklyn this coming Saturday night. So if you missed them at New Dorp, be sure you catch them at Severian this coming Saturday night here at CBS FM 101.1. Here at 101.1. At CBS FM, you're on the request line. Who's this and where are you calling in from?
Hi, this is Donna. I'm calling in from Jersey.
Okay, what can I play for you?
I'd like to hear I'll Never Let You Go.
Five discs?
Yes.
And Yesterday's Dream coming in tonight at 11.
Don K. Reed, the doo-wop shop. 101.
Harmony Street is next here in the Doo-Wop Shop.
The Doo-Wop Shop on CBS 7.
Open up your heart. Recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found. Ooh.
On Harmony Street. Ooh. There was a place that we used to go. When we were feeling down and we were low. We couldn't believe our eyes when we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's heart and found the road. Harmony Street. Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. We couldn't believe our eyes when we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's eyes and found the road that led. Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. Thank you.
Somehow we found our love drifting away. There was nothing I could do, nothing to say. We looked into each other's eyes and found a lonely thoroughfare on Harmony Street. Open up your heart, recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found on Harmony Street. Open up your heart, recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found on
CBS FM 101.1, that is Harmony Street, and that is the title of the song. Yes, the name of the group and the name of the song, both the same. Harmony Street, it's 8:30 here at 101.1, and you're in the doo-wop shop with Don K. Reed. Here's the group Harmony Street, who's been here a couple of times, and from their, cassette album, let's listen to them do something called Christine, Harmony Street.
We love so good together, even in stormy weather. You are my girl, Christine. If you ever go away from me, well, I would wake up crying every day.
Because you see,
I want you more than you'll ever know. Christine, I'm telling you so. Everyone seems to know that I love you so. Christine, we are a true love story. We're like no other story. It's a fairy tale come true.
Fairy tale come true.
If you ever go away from me, well, I would wake up crying every day.
Because you see,
I want you more than you'll ever know. Christine, I'm telling you so. Everyone seems to know that I love you so. Christine, we are a true love story. We're like no other story. It's a fairy tale come true.
Fairy tale come true.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of good stuff, you know. As a matter of fact, one of them actually was, if you remember that was actually Jimmy Gallagher with the Passions and Don saying that they would be at a show actually at the end of the week, you know.
That was great. You know, people came up and I always, you know, gave them an opportunity to tell people across the tri-state area where they were going to be, you know. Mm-hmm. They were nice enough to come up. The least I could do is let people know where my guests were going to be performing.
Another guy that called me up actually and knew that you were going to be on the show was a guy by the name of Sam Stray. He had a group called Sam Stray and the Uniques.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember him. He actually did a jingle also, and he gave it to me to play. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play that now very quickly.
Okay. Won't you spend an evening with Don Gary? He will bring those memories back once again. Good times, glad times, remember all your friends. It's great to hear your lonelies play once again.
I love to listen to that stuff, you know. They're not hit tunes, but you know what? They're sincere and they're heartfelt and they capture the mood.
That's why I appreciate it so much when people do that, you know.
Yeah. So, did you ever? I asked you about groups that you might not have, you know, appreciated because it was a long hour, you know, whatever. But did you ever get a bunch of guys in there and you said to yourself, "Oh my goodness, it's." These guys, you know, I mean, I get that feeling.
Good or bad, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, good. I mean, I get that feeling when I hang around Jimmy Gallagher and, you know, and Dion.
I mean, the hour would go very, very fast for not only myself, but the groups would say, boy, the hour's over already. You know, they were hyperventilating the fact that they had to be on the air for an hour, and then we'd get in there, and it would zip by so fast, they turned to me when I said, well, we got to, you know, wrap it up. They couldn't believe the hour went by.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I'm still in awe of some of the groups that I hang around with. Even though I get to sing on stage with some of them, I go, oh, my goodness.
Exactly. That's the way I felt when I met a lot of the artists I saw at those Alan Freed shows. I actually got to meet them. They would become, you know, friends of mine.
Oh, yeah.
It was just incredible. It was, like I said, it was a dream come true. I had a dream. A kid from Flatbush, Brooklyn with a dream that came true. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I know how many people are listening tonight, and Don, we're going to have to wrap it up very quickly, and we're going to play actually Harmony Street, the ballad, and we're going to talk over it a little bit as I play it and just say goodbye to all of our friends and say goodnight. And it's Don, it's just been a thrill to have you on.
It's been a thrill to be on, let me tell you. Keep it up. One of the people keeping the music alive across the country.
Absolutely.
Now.
Well, just like Dion is one of my heroes, and Jimmy Gallagher and Jimmy Beaumont and some of the guys that I hang around with, you're one of my heroes too, because you were so part of my life, much a part of my life, because I listened to you every Sunday without fail for years, and I consider you a good friend, and I thank you for being my friend.
Thanks for asking me on the show. I really appreciate it.
I'm going to play Harmony Street right now, and
I want to say hello to everybody across the country who probably or I know is listening, who probably maybe came from the area, you know, the tri-state area, and they used to listen to the show. I want to thank them for listening and having it last for 27 years because of people like them all across the tri-state area who listened every Sunday. Without those people, I would have never been there.
Well, I'm sure that there are people right now that are listening that have a little tear in their eye because the outcry when CBS went down was
The Doo-Wop Shop went in 2002, and in less than 3 years when they abandoned that music, the station was gone.
Oh, yeah.
They've come back, but it's a little different, you know, a different radio station.
Yeah.
And, in fact, up until just the end of May, I was doing a New York Radio Greats broadcast, they called it, every Sunday. They rotated guest hosts, not only guys from CBS FM, but from other New York radio stations from that era gone by. And, as I say, the last show was, I didn't know it when I was doing the show, May 31st, but they pulled the Radio Greats show, so they're not going to have it anymore.
Well, Don,
we're replaced by a syndicated show, Dick Bartley's show. I know Dick, and he's a great guy, but they put a syndicated show in as opposed to having guys on the air live. But they say they're going to use myself and Norman Knight on occasion, so we'll see.
Well, that'd be great. We're going to have to say goodnight here from the Harmony Street show.
Good night.
This is Michael.
Great man on the show.
Michael and Paulette, I love you, Don, and we'll be talking very, very soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paulette. Thank the engineer in there, will you?
I will.
Thank Don, you, Chad.
Don K. Reed says thanks, Chad.
Thank you, Don.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
When we both had our doubts, but through it all, you know our love was complete. We spent all our time. Harmony Street.